Yum Nub. Reach out for Yum Nub. A Tomitopi chicken. Ganoopa Bingo.
Hello and welcome to Yubcast, your Star Wars cartoon podcast. My name's Jamie, and well, I see we agree on something.
And my name is Matt. People keep telling me that they know me. I'm afraid no one does.
What's that one from?
That's Rey having her existential crisis in The Force Awakens.
Ah. Okay.
I think it's Force Awakens. It's one of the sequels. It's a Rey line from the sequel trilogy. Everyone knows her, but no one knows her.
Yes. Very dark and mysterious.
Yep.
That's how I acted when I was a teenager and I wore all black. No one understands me. No one really knows me.
You were a goth kid?
Nah. Goth adjacent. Or more like goth adjacent.
Like emo like kid.
In college, kind of went through phases.
I dated a goth girl in college.
So did I.
She was less fun than I was hoping. It's tough. It's tough. Like, I don't know. It's like weird when that'll be fun and she's turned out to be weird.
She just wants to sit around, listen to Joy Division and pet her cat.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, this is boring. Actually, I dated two goth girls in college, and the second one was actually a technician in the plant biology department. She was a lot of fun, but not because she was goth, because she was very smart, and I really liked her. She went off and started a biotech company someplace, though, so as you do.
Yeah, the one goth girl I dated, she... Last I heard, she had like this weird album, and because she was a musician, and I got it, and it was like, because I really tried to like her musical tastes, but it was just like, no, I can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've never had to pretend to like someone's music. My wife was in a community band, but they basically sung like Fleetwood Mac songs, so that was easy. Like, no, that's fine. Like, Fleetwood Mac, Fiona Apple, and a couple other things like that. Like, that's fine. This is easy to like. Guar. Yeah, super into Guar. Their foam rubber budget was just way too high, and eventually I had to say enough is enough.
when the lead singer of the band, when... her penis ejaculated pudding and blood and stuff all over the crowd and got on your nice shoes, you're just like, I'm putting my foot down.
Yeah, since my wife was lead singer, it was her foam rubber penis ejaculating pudding onto the crowd. I was like, I'm not sure I'm on board with this. Also, there's lots of kids here because this is a community event.
Hey, you've not lived until you've heard Love Surgery played live. So,
welcome to GuarCast.
Hey, I know a lot of Guar songs.
I know you do.
Yeah. They're surprisingly fun once you get past the whole weird stuff.
There was a documentary about Guar I watched years ago. What's the name of that documentary? This is Guar? No, it's too recent. It says that was in 2021. I watched this back in the 90s.
Well, they had like a fight or a legal battle with some uptight religious person. I can't remember who. And they won. And then, like, I think gave the money to like to some charity, like Center for Missing Children or... Center for Exploited and Missing Children. That's the name of it.
Yes, that's it. All right. Sorry. All right. We're, well, 4 minutes in the fucking show, and we're already talking about Guar.
Something else.
Ejaculating, putting onto the crowd. I'm going to get us back on the road.
Yes. Speaking of ejaculating, some big news.
No, we're going to talk about what we're doing first. We're still doing Bad Batch. We've got today we're doing season 3, episode 14, Flash Strike, which is the second last episode of Bad Batch ever. Today is May 12th, 2024. Happy Mother's Day. That episode aired about 2 weeks ago on April 28th. But before we do that, I think we've got some Star Wars news we have to discuss. We don't normally do Star Wars rumors, I should say, because we don't like giving credence. But we both think this one, it's been heavily reported on, and we don't have any additional context. But do you want to tell everybody what we're talking about?
Yeah, the rumor that Sigourney Weaver will be in the Mandalorian and Grogu movie.
Yes. This might be a 10 out of 10 for Jamie's fantasies.
Sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of my giant throbbing erection.
Yeah, I recently took the boy to go see Alien, the re-release in the theater. And I had forgotten like how much they show at the end when she's like getting out of kind of like the jumpsuit and getting ready for like the cryo sleep. She's got like the skimpy 70s underpants. I don't want to say panties because I hate that word. And having a girl, a little girl, is just like, ugh, I hate that sort of thing. But just
tighty whities. She's wearing tighty whities.
Yeah, and it was just like they're like hipster, I think, and it was just like, oh wow, that just brought it back up like a flood of memories. And just thinking about like, because I've just, she's just one of those people that I've, actresses that I'll be like, I still find her, she's still a smoke show. And she's, I think she's in her 70s now.
Yeah, how old is she? But yes, she has to be, right? She was born in 1949.
So what is that?
75.
Yeah, 75, okay.
Yeah, so 1949 to now is 75 years. So she's 75 years old. Or she will be in October, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always liked everything she's in, and unless she's like, maybe it's because like she's just one of those people that just like does stuff, but then stays pretty much out of like the limelight. So like she could be weird, anti-vax. If you are Sigourney, please just keep it on the DL, like you have, you currently have been.
Well, a few things we know about her.
Or she like shoots dogs or something.
Yeah, well, yikes. A few things we know about Sigourney Weaver is she played in the movie Gorillas in the Mist.
Oh, right? Yes.
And ever since then, she's supported heavily, like supported conservation, like animal conservation causes pretty heavily, including specifically gorilla conservation causes. So there's something right there. It probably gives you a little bit of insight into her character. But I'm with you. Like her personal life aside, I've been like when we were talking about her, I was just like scrolling through her IMDb page, and there's lots of things I haven't seen that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
But she got her start in Annie Hall, playing one of Alvy's dates, one of Woody Allen's dates in that movie. And then her fifth credit, not counting a Pepsi commercial, is Alien. She had almost nothing under her belt when she went in for Alien, and that's in 1979.
Yeah, they kind of talked about how she was like, she was, somebody had seen her on Broadway, and it was just like, because like at, when they re-released Alien, they kind of like had this little featurette with the Alien Romulus director talking with, I can't think of his name now.
You're talking about the Alien Romulus director?
Yeah, the Alien Romulus director was sitting.
We just did this last week.
Yeah, no. But he was talking with, why can't I think of his name?
Ridley Scott?
Yeah, he's talking with Ridley Scott, and Ridley Scott had just mentioned that somebody had just like they're trying to find the leading, they're trying to find this person, and like somebody had mentioned her because she was on Broadway or something, and so that she had just like made such an impression that like they flew her out and auditioned her, and then she got the part.
Yeah, so that tracks with what I see in her IMDb page, because she was in the show Somerset, which is like a daytime drama, and then Annie Hall, and then a TV miniseries, and a Pepsi commercial, and then Alien. Her Broadway credits are not on IMDb, because I guess they don't index those here. And then it's Alien. And then 5 years after Alien, it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned Ghostbusters, because Ghostbusters came out in 84, so I was 9. A lot of the references I do not get. And you played a drop earlier before we like yes, that.
That one?
Yeah. That it was just like,
want this body.
Is this a trick question?
Oh, boy. Okay, you need to stop that.
Is that a trick question? Yeah, the whole gatekeeper, keymaster thing flew over my head as a kid.
Yeah, and it's just like, now it's just like, yeah. But
yikes.
Yeah. And so hopefully I've liked everything that she's been in. Hopefully this comes to be true. I mean, she has a lot of sci-fi cred to her, so.
She was in Galaxy Quest. She can be in Star Wars.
Yes, yeah, she's Galaxy Quest, Avatar.
She's the main character of the Alien franchise. Mm-hmm. She's been in Avatar, playing once again not the main character, but like a main supporting cast character. And then she was in the parody Galaxy Quest, once again playing one of the main cast characters. She likes sci-fi, or at least she likes being in sci-fi. She's the type of person that can do whatever she wants. And so if she wants to be in Star Wars, hell yeah. She was in Futurama as the Planet Express ship's voice.
Oh, she was? That was her?
Yes, according to IMDb, that was her. Yeah, she likes sci-fi. Yeah, that makes her even cooler. She was in WALL-E.
She was in Finding Dory. She's just like her voice.
Yeah,
was just like, this is Sigourney Weaver. Because, oh my god, it totally makes sense now. Because you said she's really into conservation. That I think the voice talked about sort of stuff, something about conservation and sea life. Well, oh man,
she's in Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, the TV series.
Oh, I never saw it.
She's the myth speaker. I think it's the narrator that sets up the beginning of the story. Yeah, Secrets of the Whales, Planet Earth. She does a bunch of documentaries, like nature documentaries, Secrets of the Whales. Did I just say that? Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, she does a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and she was one of the, like, she helped, like, if she was not the first, she helped kind of usher in the strong female lead who survives and is totally badass, like her and like Jamie Lee Curtis and like Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's part of that great tradition. The woman and her cat are the only ones that survive.
Yes.
Man, I want to watch. I should have gone to Alien in the theater.
It was
still around. Probably not. My wife mentioned it, but we didn't get to do it. Just too much.
Yeah, unfortunately, I missed getting to see episode one in the theater because I had a work trip, and I had really like no idea what was going to be going on during this like convention I had to go to. So I unfortunately missed it in the theaters, but I saw it like 4 times or something like when it came out originally. So I think I'm covered.
Do you remember how many times you saw it when it came out originally? Not to get back to Star Wars on our Star Wars podcast, but
yeah, weirdos. Yeah.
Did you watch the midnight showing?
No, I worked. I was working as a paramedic in this one horse town, And oh, there just wasn't a whole, I think they had like one movie theater that the movie theater probably had it because it was like one theater. Because I remember seeing The Matrix in that town, but I never saw the. I think I had to go into like a couple towns over, and I saw it with some friends, and then I saw it multiple times. Yeah, because I remember I just meet up with a new friend, and we go, "Let's go see Star Wars," or you find somebody who hasn't seen it yet, "Let's go see Star Wars," and I was like, I was unwilling to accept that like it was kind of lame, so I was just like, "I don't care, I'm going to go see it."
I mean, that's sort of the ethos of the whole thing. It's at the time it was the first opportunity to see Star Wars in the theater since, well, it had just done like the remastered re-releases in 96 or 97, but this was new Star Wars. And so at the time I was living in Arizona and actually was, I think a freshman or a sophomore in college, and I was working at a theater. So I went to the midnight showing with a bunch of friends, with everyone dressed up as Darth Maul with the lightsabers in line and everything. And I was actually on the news, on the local news, for like the human interest story that they throw on for 5 minutes. It was basically, look at all these losers waiting in line to see Star Wars. And back then, a midnight showing was a 12:01 showing of a movie. And so I went to that, but I worked in a theater. And so I guesstimate I saw The Phantom Menace 20 times in the theater because I wasn't paying to see it. I could just walk into the theater at any time that summer and watch it. And so I just did that over and over and over again. And I didn't have anything else to do. So, I mean, I saw the end a bunch of times, probably 50 times, because when I was working, you'd have to like go into the theater toward the end of the movie and make sure people are ushered out. But yeah, I saw that movie dozens of times in the theater. Too many times to count. I was working at the theater when the trailer was dropped and people would buy tickets to go see Meet Joe Black just to see the trailer to The Phantom Menace on the big screen. And our movie theater had a controversial policy that they would not give refunds for tickets to meet Joe Black, because people would see the trailer and then go try to get a refund for their ticket.
No, it's like, yeah, why would you go see that movie?
Once again, I worked in movie theater, so I saw every movie that came out, because they would actually have screenings of every movie. Have you ever worked in movie theater?
No.
Yeah, so when they put, it might be different now, but back then it was film. And so they would have to splice all the film together. And they would come in canisters. And so the projectionist would have to splice all the film together and run it. And so you had to test that the movie worked, that there weren't like tears in the movie,
mm-hmm.
that the splicing actually worked. And so they mandated, it was part of your job, that you had to attend screenings of movies. So you had to sit there. And if there was a problem, you had to notify the management of what time the problem was in the movie. And so I didn't care. I just sat there and watched every movie. Because
mm-hmm.
you could just do that. And it was, you're getting paid to do it. To sit there. So I watched Meet Joe Black. I watched the Phantom Menace trailer 1,000 times on the big screen. And I denied people's refunds for their ticket to Meet Joe Black.
Man, that must have been a great policy in the 70s when porno movies were released just like any other movie. You have to go watch this movie. Like, okay.
Yeah, after 90 seconds, you just are asking for a refund. All right.
How come every time I deliver pizza, this doesn't happen?
All right, you got off track. Did you do any Star Wars this week, though?
Here's some money. Go see a Star Wars.
Not really, because I had that work trip.
Yeah, you're out of town.
But I did. No, actually, I don't think I did. I mean, after last time we recorded, I don't think I did much of anything Star Wars related, other than just shoot the shit about it with random people I work with, because I work with a lot of nerds, so nerds like Star Wars. I was at like an arcade slash bar, and they had like the trilogy game. It was the stand up arcade game where you could play like, there's like three stages.
Yeah.
So I watched I watched one of my coworkers play it, and he's really good. He's like a former Army Ranger. He's just like super competitive and great at everything, which is good for him, but it sucks if you're ever playing against him in something. And he was just like killing it in that game.
Did you feel dominated?
Yes. Yes, I just got down on the floor and just put my butt up in the air and just like, okay.
Kids, this is your dad.
The SNL skit where Will Ferrell gets beat up by the Christmas kangaroo and eventually he just stops fighting it. It starts, he just like hits him once and is like, oh, okay.
Damn, looks like you win. Again, kids, go get him a scotch and soda.
Sorry. Oh, that's such a good sketch. Yeah, you were out of town, so you didn't do much Star Wars. I had a relatively light Star Wars week too. I got some action figures from Hasbro in the mail, so I pre-ordered them all way ahead of time. My Professor Huang's came in the mail today. I'll send you a photo of them.
The way you said Professor Huang.
Huang. Like,
are we doing another? Are we doing another dick joke? Because I mean, I'm game.
He does have sort of a phallic accessory. The other thing I did is I dug out my 3D printed chopper. I think I sent you some photos of it.
Oh yeah.
I decided I'm gonna just get my droids, my full scale droids, up and running. Just gonna throw a bunch of time into that because I've been not feeling so mentally healthy lately. Just doing some bullshit. And I need to get back to things I love, which are like chess and Star Wars. So.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for everybody who stands near me with regard to chess and Star Wars, but it's going to get weird.
Yeah, actually, I'm still listening to The Living Force. I'm having a real tough time getting into this this book. It's just not a whole lot of things happen, and it just seems just like everybody, like without spoiling it for anybody who hasn't listened.
Including me.
Yeah, it just seems like they all go and do mundane things and listening. We always said before that like if there was a show about a guy who did like who worked on a garbage truck in Star Wars, we'd watch that. But it's just like this is kind of a book that's kind of like that, and it's kind of like I don't know. So I'm hoping that it's building towards something a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I haven't started it yet. I need to get back into reading. I started out this year so strong with Star Wars books. I did, I think, 11 Legends books. And then I just haven't had the mental capacity to focus lately. And if I read anything right now, it's about flu and work stuff, work-related stuff. And I haven't even finished the High Republic books that are out. And so I'm like probably 6 or 7 serious Star Wars pieces of media behind at this point. So I need to catch up. But we can start catching up by getting back to the show. Do you want to move forward to the show segments, or do you want to talk about anything else Star Wars that we are coming up or we did this week?
Yeah, I've got nothing else to talk about. Should probably get to it.
All right, so moving on to the show content. Last week, we sort of debuted our Forces of Destiny review segment, where we go over one of the cartoon animated shorts from 2020 or 2017 called Forces of Destiny. They had 2 seasons of these, released 30-something episodes in total. They're very short. They're a few minutes long. Last week, we did the first one, which was called Sands of Jakku. This week, we're going to do the next one called BB-8 Bandits. it's actually a sequel to, it's directly after the last one of these. And so this is another Rey and BB-8 one.
The choices we make, the actions we take, moments, both big and small, shape us into forces of destiny.
So its original air date was April 14th, 2017, where it was debuted at Celebration in Orlando. But it was actually released on July 4th, 2017. I think they might have released all of them at the same time. So the show, or this short, opens up at Rey's AT-AT house. They're headed to Nima Outpost. On the horizon, they see Tito. He is stalking them. I think I called him Tito last week, but his name is Tito, T-E-E-D-O, which is fine. We're all allowed to make mistakes.
And you said AT-AT and not AT-AT.
Oh, God fucking damn it. Are you an AT-AT person?
Yeah. I don't want to have to. I don't want to. It just heretics like you who say AT-AT. It really gets my goat.
I'm not a real Star Wars fan. This is well established.
Yeah, I know. It's AT-AT.
It's AT-AT. Are you a and GIF or a GIF person?
GIF.
GIF. Okay. We can still be friends.
I mean, I used to say GIF, but
God
then
fucking damn it.
But that was like a long time ago.
We all have a past.
Yes, we've all done things we're not proud of, like calling an all-terrain armored transport an AT-AT instead of an AT-AT. Even though everything else that has that's just a bunch of letters, we don't like actually pronounce it, so we don't call it like a AT-ST or
AT-ST.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that controversy... I can't believe we can't even get through one of these fucking things. I'm pretty sure that controversy comes from a toy commercial where the Kenner toy commercial calls it an AT-AT or something. I'm going to look it up now and figure out where this comes from.
It's new AT-AT, the all-terrain armored transport from Kenner. Batteries not included, action figures each sold separately. You can make AT-AT walk. Its legs are big enough to crush obstacles. You can move AT-AT's head and pretend to scan for rebels. AT-AT has a cockpit for Imperial Commander and AT-AT driver and laser machine guns. When you push a button to fire the laser cannons, you activate battle lights and sounds. There's even a troop compartment. New AT-AT from Kenner's Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Collection.
All right.
Toy commercial can never be wrong.
Nope. All right. Was I in the first sentence?
Mm-hmm.
On the horizon, they see Tito. He is stalking them. Right then, two bandits attack her at her speeder. She gets BB-8 into the net on the side and speeds off into the desert. She is headed right toward Tito, but blows past him. The bandits give pursuit, with Tito leading the way. They shoot blasters at Rey, but she avoids them. She causes the two bandits chasing her to crash, but Tito is still on her tail. Rey says to BB-8 that he must be very popular. BB-8 replies, just like the Night Watcher worm. Rey says, that's a great idea, and leads Tito inside a crashed Star Destroyer. In the middle, in the sort of center chamber, the Night Watcher worm emerges and eats Tito's bike. Tito runs off. Rey says, thanks to the Night Watcher worm, and speeds off. The end. So this is a very simple one. There's not a whole lot to discuss, but as we said last week, these shorts are basically interstitial material for the canon stuff. And so there's a scene in the movie where she gets BB-8, fixes his antenna, and then the next day they're at Nima Outpost. So these two scenes happen between those two cuts in A Force Awakens. The Force Awakens.
Right. Can you imagine if you went to like Orlando and this was like the only exclusive? Like,
oh, I should look that up. That's a good.
Because like
are they debuting there.
Because I don't know if you've been to like work conventions and stuff, right? Like if there's like some like keynote speaker or or something is unsatisfactory, just like it just spreads like wildfire.
Yeah.
So I could just imagine people like tearing the place apart. Like if it was like nothing against Forces of Destiny, but I would want a little bit more than just that.
So I'm reading the summary of Star Wars Celebration, and it is the 40th anniversary of Star Wars, and so it was a big deal. It was in Orlando. They had a panel on Battlefront 2 and a panel on Star Wars Rebels, so that was probably the biggest draw. And Forces of Destiny had its own panel. And Kenny Baker and Carrie Fisher had died that year, and so they had a panel on their contributions to Star Wars as well. So
this was 2017 when
Last Jedi
came out. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. So I think that was Battlefront 2 and Star Wars Rebels were probably the big things to see that year, along with the Carrie Fisher and Kenny Baker tributes.
Right. Okay.
So I don't think the only thing they got was that. I'm not gonna watch this video. There's a YouTube video, like a summary, which is going to ruin our recording. So, anyway, like I said, we're not going to do these every week. We'll probably take next week off for this because next week is the Bad Batch finale, and we'll probably have a lot to talk about. But I do want to keep this up so we make sure that we cover these. Do you have any commentary on this little short?
No, it's just there.
Yeah, it's a little follow up to the last one, and the next one when we do it, whenever we get around to it, is called Ewok Escape and is about Leia. So it'll be, I'm sure we'll have some inappropriate Ewok drop we can drop into that one.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah, there you go. You must have that on a hotkey or something. Every time you hit the space bar.
Come on in, you guys.
No, I mean, I just using the soundboard application, and I've got like ones just set to Ewoks. I've got Ewoks, Vin Diesel, American Dad, Rick and Morty, Star Wars, Simpsons, and then just some other random ones that I think came with it.
I didn't get to play this one earlier.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Yeah.
So I'll just play it here. Love you, Sigourney. Please be in Star Wars.
Yes.
All right, do you want to go on to Bad Batch?
Yes, let's.
Take it away. There's no cast I'm going to talk about this week, so this is all you.
Okay. So the show opens up in hyperspace on the science vessel with the Bad Batch's shuttle attached to the outside. Rampart says that the base's sensors will pick them up when they drop out of hyperspace. The Bad Batch want to detach and try to get into the atmosphere before the sensors pick them up. Then they'll try to get there on foot. Crosshair says that the jungles are deadly. Rampart says to at least listen to him. Wrecker asks about Echo. Hunter says he will find his way off the shuttle himself. They go forward with this half plan. Tentis, Hemlock asks about the incoming science vessel. Scorch reports that Clone Force 99 infiltrated the base prior to the shuttle's departure. Bad Batch escape aboard another shuttle, and they might be tracking the ship. Hemlock orders increased security.
This was a refreshing moment of competence from the Empire.
Right.
They have intel that Bad Batch or Clone Force 99 was on the base, and they left at the exact moment that the other shuttle left, and it seems fishy. So he looked like, okay, well, let's increase security because these clowns are obviously on their way.
Yeah, most other Imperial leaders would be like, they obviously can't get to here. You're fired.
Any attack on this station would be a useless gesture.
Sure. Very good. The shuttle drops out of hyperspace. Hunter detaches and tries to fly their stolen shuttle to the jungle floor, but there are fighters waiting for them. They immediately take fire. Hemlock receives a report that a rogue shuttle has entered the system. Hemlock orders it shot down and the base placed on emergency protocols. Cannons from the ground shoot down the shuttle, and it starts to go down in the jungle. Meanwhile, inside the vault, children can hear and feel the cannons firing. The kids ask what's going on, and Omega says that her brothers are coming. I love this.
I do, too.
It was very... I try not to get too worked up about Star Wars stuff, but it's just like... It hit me in the feels a little bit.
It's a really heartfelt line, because they don't know what's going on. They just feel like the base shaking a little bit. And Omega's like, they have no context for what's happening. It's just a completely new sensation. And Omega immediately says, like, oh, they're here. They're here for us. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to not get a little choked up where it's like, with that sort of naked hope, where it's like, oh, I knew this was going to happen. I knew that they wouldn't forget me. They figured out how to find me.
Right. So Emery is given a report that the base is on lockdown. She tells the others to initiate emergency procedures. She goes to secure the lab, and she tells the other doctor to monitor the children. Dr. Sadler says the specimens will be fine. Dr. Sadler being the kind of the anti-Emery. They have to have someone who's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I was thinking a little bit more about her character after editing some of our episodes. And you're right. She's there to be a juxtaposition. Like this is how bad Emery could be. Mm-hmm. And Emery, it provides that contrast for us, where it's like, yeah, Emery's doing bad things, but Emery's not Scalder. Mm-hmm. Scalder enjoys doing bad things. Like, I don't know if enjoys is the right word, but she has no problem with what's happening there.
Right.
At all.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, she would, if someone said, like, okay, shoot the baby, she'd be like, all right, whatever.
Okay, like where? So on the shuttle, the shields are failing. They're about to shoot down a few V-wings. They do some maneuvering, but they cannot land. They use repelling cables to lower themselves into the canopy of the jungle. Crosshair and Wrecker go first. Hunter and Rampart go next. Rampart's winch gets jammed, and Hunter shoots the cable loose. And they fall to the jungle floor. The shuttle is shut down and crashes into the jungle.
This is a very cartoon plan.
Mm-hmm.
This would not work.
Yeah.
This is insane. This would not work. You would be dead. I don't care what kind of armor you're wearing. You'd be dead. Also, Rampart's wearing a t-shirt, so he has no armor.
Hemlock is told the science vessel is landing. He orders the ship searched and every crew member checked. No one gets off the ship without inspection. Once again, very competent. Echo is still messing with the computer on the science vessel. The commander of the vessel tries to unload the cargo, but the troopers tell him the ship needs inspection. He protests, but is told it is Hemlock's orders that he reloads the cargo waiting inspection. Meanwhile, back in the jungle, Crosshair and Wrecker can't find Hunter and Rampart. Wrecker asks if they should break radio silence, but Crosshair says they should work their way to the base. It's what Hunter would do. Crosshair is getting nervous. His hand is shaking. He says that this is a place he's been before, not a place that you'd forget. Omega didn't leave him behind before, and he won't leave her behind now.
This is a great exchange from Crosshair. He obviously has PTSD, and we've seen him do his meditation to try to recover. And now he's back in a place that triggers his PTSD. And his hand is tremoring again. He can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
This is very well written, I'll put it that way. Because when you suffer from like a trauma like that, you can control it with mindfulness. You can control it with medication or mindfulness and things. But when you're put back in the situation that caused the trauma, the physical manifestations of that trauma can reemerge. And that can be anxiety. It can be tics. It can be, in his case, a tremor in his hand. All of this, I don't know. This all feels very relevant to me. So I was not excited that this is happening. I'm just excited that it's being portrayed in such a responsible way.
Yeah. And shows he's not a coward too, because any reasonable person would not go back.
he's justifying why he's going back too. Like, he's giving the audience like the reason. He's like, she wouldn't leave without me. I can't leave her here. And it's Crosshair is a problematic character. He just is. He's always been a problematic character. And you see like his humanity emerging here. Like what's the line? We get a nice exchange in a minute too. But the line apparently is like, no, I am loyal to her because she was loyal to me. And it's once you find people like your family, like the people who actually love you, the people who really love you rather than the people who pretend to love you, that's what matters.
Yeah. And they're also bonded by this traumatic experience that they both had. And so you find people who've been through horrible things have that bond that is I don't know the best way to explain it, but it's just it's something probably only like I would say like soldiers, maybe cops or firefighters or people who have just been through like traumatic experiences together and you live to tell the tale, like they're kind of like they're permanently bonded together.
Right. Things exist in context, and so people who share context can share those experiences. So it's like that Key and Peele sketch where the members of a human centipede accidentally run into each other at a cafe. And have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
I'll send it to you. It's really okay. Good.
God. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
I was trying to lighten it up.
That movie is so weird.
I've never seen it on purpose.
It's one of those movies I just kind of like fast forwarded through. And I was just kind of like, oh, that's it. Okay. It's weird, disturbing. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, but whatever. It's not meant to. Okay, so a hunter shows up. Wrecker asks if Rampart made it. Unfortunately, he did. Rampart says that they are defective clones because if they had any sense, they wouldn't have come here. The troopers arrive at the shuttle's crash site and report that no one was on board. They are ordered to begin a radial sweep of the jungle. Now, on the science vessel, the troopers are beginning their search. A protocol droid confronts Echo, saying he's not authorized to be in that area. Echo tries to make an excuse, but shoots the droid and takes his hand to make a better disguise. He works his way through the shuttle and exits via the droid chute. The base's personnel are checking all the troops' credentials, but Echo slips past and he gets into the base.
Almost for confidence.
Yeah, this is very slick. He's just kind of like, I would be too nervous to do anything. But the thing that kind of gets me in this is that he gives himself a hand and it works. Why didn't he do this in the beginning? Because it just seems like having a computer, like a USB port for a hand. It just seems like it would just be – it wouldn't make things easy for him.
Yeah, it's – I hope he keeps it.
Yeah.
I know we're not going to see him very much more, but there might be like a future episode with like Echo in it. I hope we see him with a hand. Because I agree. You don't see – you just don't see stormtroopers with missing limbs ever. They're infinitely replaceable automatons. They look exactly alike. They're the same height. They're indistinguishable. And so having one missing a hand, what's the point?
Yeah. But like even still like just like in normal life, why wouldn't he have gotten a prosthetic?
It's a good question.
It's got to make just like simple tasks difficult.
Yeah. Imagine how hard it is to bait it.
Yeah, all right, well, I was thinking, okay, all right, my mind was equally in the gutter, so I guess I can't, I have no high road.
Yeah, you don't high road me. Yeah, there's all like, sorts of attachments for it.
Right? I was just like, how's he wipe his butt? But unless he, like, he like puts it next to the roll, and then like he twists it, and then a bunch of wraps onto the little data spike thing. And then
I assume the Star Wars universe is a bidet society. No toilet paper shortages. In other words, it'd be like a whole toilet paper planet. A toilet paper supply chain.
Alrighty. Okay.
Trust me, it's a bidet society. Let's see if there's any entries in Wikipedia that I can vandalize.
Yeah, is there a difference between a restroom and a refresher?
So there is no article for bidet. There is an article for refresher.
They do have like urinal sort of things, because you see Wedge in one in Rebels.
There's one in this Razor Crest. You see it in the first episode of Mandalorian. It's in the toilet. Yeah. We've talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like a astronaut's vacuum tube, where you can just either pee in it or just sit and it sucks out the poop.
A refresher, also known as a lavatory, bathroom, restroom, privy, or a fresher. This is their thing. Oh, it's super short. Oh, it's considered a stub. Consider expanding it. Oh, I will. Oh, I was listening to Hyperspace Heroes earlier today, and they requested that I change the name of a ship in Wikipedia for them. I'm gonna look it up while you're doing the summary. So
what are they not man enough to vandalize Wikipedia?
Yeah, I don't think Scruffy's man enough to do it, but that's okay. I got his back.
Yeah, you've got no shame.
They're going to kick me off. I do so much work on this site.
Okay, let's see. So while you're doing that, so in the vault, the kids are curious why the droids haven't taken their vitals yet. Something's definitely wrong. Omega tells them that this is her chance to escape, and if the droids show up, they need to stall them. The kids are unsure what Omega needs them to do, but Omega goes into her stall, removes the wall tiles, and climbs up into the wall. In the jungle, the troopers are conducting the search. Rampart is falling behind, and Crosshair says if he doesn't speed up, he will get left behind. Rampart says that he used to believe good soldiers followed orders. Crosshair says it depends on who's giving them. They argue, and Crosshair says he's changed. Sorry, you going to say something?
I was just going to say that I found the article, and the ship that they want me to change the name of actually doesn't have a name. So this is a very dangerous position for me. I can just name it what they want it named.
You're like the Banksy of Wikipedia.
I'm going to do it.
What they want it changed to.
So it's the ship that Omega, we haven't gotten there, but it's the ship at the end of Bad Batch that Omega flies off in.
Okay.
It's like a mini Marauder. It's like, all right. It looks like the Marauder, but it's small. And so they want it called the Marauder NC-1701A.
Okay.
As a reference to Star Trek. And so I think I'm just going to do it and see what happens. It'll be funny enough to do it and then send them the screenshot.
is there somebody whose role it is just to like find your, like anytime you change something an alert pops up and they have to check to make sure that it's, you're not dicking around, it's actually like real work.
I've changed. So I don't know how it works. I think you can flag changes that people have done, but I think you have to actually be pretty shitty. You have to do something pretty shitty to get kicked off. I honestly don't know what it would take. I'm just going to see what happens if I hit save. Does it do it? It did it. All right. All right. Let's keep going.
Did you get a picture for them?
I'm doing it right now.
Okay. All right. Okay. I've lost track of where I was. Okay. So in the base, Echo is using his hand to access base schematics. He boards a lift and heads to the lab. Now, inside the walls, Omega gets into the next level and continues to shimmy along the tube lines. Back in the jungle, the search party is getting close to the Bad Batch and Rampart. The Bad Batch reach a cliff face. They debate if they should go around or climb up. Crosshair says that it will take too long to go around. Rampart, tired, sits down and sits on a Dryax, the puma-slash-bear creature from the previous escape episode. It starts to wake up. Rampart says to shoot it. Hunter says the blaster fire will give away their position. They start to back up, and Rampart says their position won't matter if they get eaten. Rampart takes off running, of course. The Dryax attached to the Bad Batch. Wrecker jumps on the beast, and he is thrown off the back of it and then flung into a tree. Wrecker is seriously injured. Rampart, running through the jungle, is spotted by the troopers. The troopers see the Bad Batch and the Dryax. They open fire, drawing the attention of the Dryax. The Bad Batch escape, but Rampart is captured by the troopers. Now, back in the vault, the medical droid shows up for the examinations. The kid returns to their rooms, waiting for the droid. Since they are supposed to delay the droid, the Pantoran girl, Sammy, asks Dr. Scalder for more food. She says no. Please, sir, can I have another?
Oh, that's a good drop. That's a good drop.
Yeah.
Please, sir, I want some more.
In the wall, Omega makes it to the Zillow Beast tanks. So this is a little foreshadowing. In the vault, Ava, the red Itachi kid, gets his vitals checked, and then he tells Dr. Scalder that he doesn't feel very good. She orders a diagnostic run on the kid. The droid scans him. Omega is still in the walls, but working her way back. Scalder says his vitals are normal. He appears to be fine. She orders the droid to monitor him more closely, though.
Oh, sorry. Can we do a Wikipedia thing for a second?
Sure.
I know how it works. I know what would happen. When you make a new page in Wikipedia, you become the author of that page. And so every time someone made a change to Gonki's page, I got an email. And theoretically, I could go in and make sure that the changes are accurate. I never bothered.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's people who make the pages initially are supposed to monitor them for accuracy. And if there's a shitty edit made, let's see, how would I do it? I should go to Gonki's page and see if I can, what it looks like. Yeah. So when I go to Gonki's page, I'm sorry, this is getting really sidetracked. I have a little dashboard that has all of the changes made to Gonki. And it says, see the requests on the listing page. Yeah, so I can go back and edit Gonki's page pretty much infinitely, and flag changes as inappropriate. That's how it works. So whoever made Omega ship page, if they don't think it's funny, they can flag it as inappropriate and have it remove it themselves. I guess if I get too many demerits, I'll get an email from them saying knock it off. I mostly just change names of things or add aliases, so I think it's funny. But also, I, as much as Star Wars is a community art project, I'm participating because I actually do. I did make Gonki's page, so and
oh, that was
it was updated 97 times by other users. So you're welcome, everybody.
Oh yeah, there you go. It's the Marauder NC1701. Mm-hmm. That is, all right, cool.
We'll see what happens. Sorry. I'll stop talking about Wikipedia now.
So SP-38 asks if he can go next, and Jax is told to wait his turn. The droid goes into Omega's room, and she is sitting there waiting. She made it back. Echo enters the lab and tries to access some information. He gets files on the clones and Omega. Emery comes into the lab, and she sees him. She tells him that troopers are not allowed in the room. Echo says that it's special security patrol and it's all clear. Emery pauses and asks if he is Echo. Omega told her about him. She introduced herself. Echo says that Omega told him about Emery. Echo and Emery discuss what's going on Emery says that they want to free the children. They need Emery's help, and Echo needs to trust Emery. Back in the vault, the kids are at the table, and Jack says that Omega cut it too close. What took her so long? Omega says that she has a plan, but she's going to need their help. The end.
The end. Leading into the finale. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've seen the finale because the finale came out a week ago. But we're not going to talk about what happens in the finale. Let's just start. Did you like it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. It was a good setup. Not a lot happened, but there's a few moments that I truly enjoyed. And overall, it was a good episode. Good setup for everything that goes on for the finale.
Yeah, aside from the repelling cable thing into the canopy, I was pleasantly surprised by sort of I called their plan a half plan in the summary, because I really find it annoying when they charge into these situations and just assume everyone's going to be incompetent. But I really liked it that Hemlock was very responsive to the threat. They showed up, he immediately shot them down, and then found the crash site, and then immediately started searching for them, and that they actually got found.
Mm-hmm.
And that Rampart gets captured is also a great detail for all of this. I like this episode a lot. As far as like the, I didn't put much of the Echo and Emery discussion in the summary, but can we talk about their conversation a bit?
Yeah, okay.
Because Echo, she recognizes Echo, I assume, from his voice, because he's in Stormtrooper garb, and he's wearing his fake hand.
Right? Yeah. So
she guesses that he's Echo, basically. And he comes clean that he's Echo, and then they have this sort of awkward exchange where he's like, oh, Omega's told me about you. And Echo says, yeah, she's told me about you, too. And Omega has rose-colored glasses about people sometimes. But it seems like Emery is pauses. Like, what did she say? Sort of yeah. thing. what did you think of this conversation?
Oh, I thought it was good. It was fine. I guess I didn't put as much thought into it as you did. But yeah, you're right. Would she have said, like, yeah, there's this other clone there. She's a real fucking catch you next Tuesday, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
I was really happy with it. In fact, I, for whatever reason, I thought it was the finale, and then it just stopped, and it was like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, I had a tough time sleeping because I was so looking forward to this episode, thinking it's the finale.
Yeah, we didn't discuss this, but you texted me and you said something to the effect of, I thought that was it. And I was like, no, there's one more. I can't remember what you texted me, but I was like, really? You thought this was over?
Because I remember that there wasn't a full 16. So for some reason, I got it stuck in my head that there were 14 episodes.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, we fell behind in our recording schedule. It would have been a lot of fun to speculate what the finale was going to be based on this, especially with the rumor going around that the finale was only going to be 20 minutes long.
Yeah, that was real shitty. I mean, it's funny. Now.
It's funny. Like, but yeah, it was like for a long time, everyone's like, oh, I think the rumor is it's going to be 22 minutes long or 23 minutes long. I was like, how the fuck are they going to do that? Unless it's like the end of the Dirty Dozen, where it's just like, oh, they're all just going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really looking forward to closing out the series with the finale next week. But the whole Emery and Echo conversation where Emery's like, if you want to help the kids, you want to help the children, you have to trust me. And Echo says, children. And Emery's like, yeah, Omega's not the only one. I think it's good to see that once Emery saw an opportunity, she's like, oh, yeah, fuck these people. We're done.
Yes.
It's like something's happening. The base is on lockdown. I have a rogue clone in my lab doing something. It's time to pull the plug.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just want to mention it now because I may forget next week, but I wish they would get into Emery. What's her deal?
Yeah, there's we've seen the last episode. There's a lot of unanswered questions, and good call on Emery. Emery's one of the things that I'm most curious about as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't have any production trivia or production notes for this one. I was actually rushing to finish the plot summary for the cartoon short in this. So do you want to move on to the ranking?
Yeah, okay. So now's the time in the show where we rank an episode. We rank episodes by Star Wars character. So a really great episode would be an original trilogy character like Han, Luke, Leia, Vader, Chewie. And a really bad episode would just be somebody who could just... they could just not exist in Star Wars and we wouldn't care. So I actually remembered one who's particularly lame, and that is Jira.
Why does that sound familiar? Who's that?
She is the old lady in episode one who talks to Annie.
The Anakin. Sandstorm? The Sandstorm lady?
Yeah.
Oh, my bones are aching. Storm's coming up, Annie. You better get home quick.
Oh, that's cool. Good call.
Yes.
Storms are coming, Annie.
Oh, that's great. Anyways.
Do you think Qui-Gon and Shmi got down that night? trapped inside with the sandstorm going. When we know Qui-Gon is fast and loose with the Jedi Council's rules.
Yeah.
Well, technically, he's not attached to her. He's just inside of her.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a purple-headed lightsaber?
Jesus.
I can give you another Force-sensitive kid to replace Anakin. So actually, Owen is Qui-Gon's kid.
There it is.
Yeah.
Owen's Qui-Gon's kid. There was a theory for a long time that Owen and Obi-Wan were brothers.
Yeah, I think, that was, originally way back when, before any of the prequels and stuff.
Yeah, that's an original fan theory, way back when. All right. We're way off topic again, so.
I'm going to give this episode, I'm going to give this to Mon Mothma. So I really enjoyed it. It was a setup for something greater. And I really like Mon Mothma's character, especially how she's been fleshed out in Andor. She's not just kind of she's not the naive dipshit that she's made out to be in like Bloodline and Aftermath.
Yeah.
That she's
actually dirty in Aftermath.
Yeah. They make her really that she's just like a cunning politician and cunning like liar, and she's just doing whatever it takes to keep the rebellion afloat. And I just think she's a great character, and I think this is a great episode, great setup episode. And yeah, that's it for me. There's no other real bonding things in between. There's no more extra meaning.
All right, well, I'm going to give this a Dryden Vos. Dryden Vos? Dryden Vos.
Dryden, yeah. The main bad guy from Solo.
Yeah, the big bad from Solo. I really like this episode, and I like a good sort of villain story. And I think Hemlock is showing a lot of competence, and a competent villain seems dangerous, right? It's you're not afraid of the bumbling idiot. You're afraid of the super genius, and that's sort of what Dryden was in Solo, and that's what Hemlock's doing now. He's like, oh yeah, we'll just kill them. Don't over explain your elaborate plan to them. Just kill them.
Yeah,
it's like Seth Green and Austin Powers.
Like, yeah,
just we'll get a gun. I'll go get a gun. We'll do it together. Right, yeah. We'll just kill them.
I'm going to place him in an easily escapable situation involving an overly elaborate and exotic death.
Why don't you just shoot him now? I mean, I'll go get a gun. We'll shoot him together. It'll be fun. Bang! Dead. Done.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Raiden. I really like Hemlock in this episode. I think we're going to finish really strong next week with the conclusion of Bad Batch, which I think is called The Cavalry Arrives.
Yeah.
I used to have the screen that it up, and I think I used that to vandalize Wikipedia. Flash strike. Yeah, the Cavalry has arrived is what we'll cover next week. All right, you want to play us out? Or is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just logging into Wikipedia myself. Unlike you, I don't use my real name. All right, here comes the outro.
Thank you for downloading and listening to this episode. We would also like to thank Jordan White for the use of his cover of Yub Nub as our intro and outro music. Please refer to the show notes for photos, clips, and links from this episode. Side effects from listening to Yubcast may include dizziness, dry mouth, a sense of confusion, and decreased sex drive. Serious side effects may include speaking in Ewok, speculating the origins of prequel characters, and wondering why two grown men discuss children's cartoons on the internet. For a complete list of side effects or to complain about the show, please visit us on Twitter at Yubcast or drop us an email at NoochVaderProductions@gmail.com. Thanks again. We will see you again next week with a new episode. Yubcast is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or the Walt Disney Company. Star Wars, its characters, and creations are the property of Lucasfilm and its parent company, the Walt Disney Company. Yubcast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. Da 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 da